This seems to be a story
of
disconnect. People that want to do something but won't do it because they assume Tommy.
Mm.
Maybe it's too late. Maybe they think they'll be judged.
Oh.
And that is actually making them unhappy.
Well, that's not cool, man, judging people.
So maybe we can fix this.
All right.
As long as you don't run your mouth and ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, stop running your mouth, people.
Talking to you, Tommy Mulay.
I'm doing it.
Shut the F up.
Who am I judging?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Baby boomers.
What happened?
Want to learn.
Yeah, my age people.
Yes. Learn new things, new skills, try new activities. This, according to a massive study financed by Duolingo, that's the language earning app, the learning app. You're familiar.
Yeah.
3/4 of baby boomers said they'd love to learn new things.
Well, they got time now, and it helps you live longer, expand your mind.
6 in 10 boomers. Mm-hmm. Said they find learning and doing new things more rewarding now than when they were younger.
Sure, you got the time to invest.
All right, so you got 75% who say they love to learn new things. 6 in 10 say it's more fun now than it was in the past. Here's where the problem shows up. The overwhelming majority of boomers in this study said, I am too old to learn something
new. Oh, stuck in the mud.
Well, is it they're too old to learn something new, or they're too old to learn something that they don't necessarily agree with or want to learn?
I don't know, Kimmy. It's
or
a good
they have
question.
An interest in.
Well, they're stuck in their ways.
Well, yeah, no, I think that. No, I don't think they are stuck in their ways because they don't want to be stuck in their ways. Like this study establishes.
It's like a battle in their head.
Yes, I would like to try new things, but the overwhelming majority of baby boomers said they believe they are too old to learn something.
All right, time's passed me by.
So is it, and when we're talking about learning something new, could that mean a physical hobby or
anything you can imagine?
Okay.
It could be painting, languages.
Because I can understand why, like, maybe you just physically can't do that new thing that you want to learn.
But there are other things you could learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tommy, do you agree baby boomers, the boomer generation, are too old to learn new things?
I mean, you're not. You can. I mean, if you had the time and the money.
Okay. So you would encourage people to do it then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Big encouraging guy. Yeah. What?
You think baby boomers should learn new things?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Why are you doing the voice?
Show me your crappy carvings or your attempted Spanish.
Attempted Spanish? You've been charged with attempted Spanish.
A lot of guys would be that.
Okay. You don't believe baby boomers should try new things.
Where are you going, man? It's your ass.
What do you mean going? Why does it have to go anywhere?
Where are you going? What are you going to do? Planking?
What?
Planking?
You're going to get the floor? Dude, you planking? You can look like you had a stroke or you slipped into a coma.
Why can't anybody learn new things at any age? Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Head down to the rec center.
So you judge somebody who took up painting or learning an instrument or planking, which isn't even a hobby.
No.
Well, exercise. Okay. In shape, it's a hobby. Instrument's the worst idea. Wait, what instrument you picking up?
Any name an instrument? That one?
Piano? Well,
I mean, piano.
Yeah, why?
Your old busted-ass creakly ass hands gonna be doing Benny and the Jets. You ain't Elton.
What?
Elton ain't Elton.
Nobody said they were Elton.
Could just be something to pass time.
And don't try a wind instrument at your age. You'll die.
252 WCMF. What the hell does it matter what age you are when you want to learn something new? Because again, I'm gonna tell you the first two numbers, and this is from baby boomers exclusively. Right. 3/4 of boomers want to learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
Over 50%. Think it's better now to learn than it was before.
Oh, sure.
Yet none of them are doing it. Tommy, give me one good reason why you shouldn't keep learning and doing at your age.
What's the point? Who are you trying to impress at this age?
It makes people happy.
So does alcohol.
No, it doesn't. It's actually depressing.
Go pay attention to your grandchildren.
Okay.
You didn't take care of your own kids. You got a second shot with your grandkids. You're going to die soon. Who cares if you could speak, you know, French?
Even more reason to learn something new.
And nobody wants to see your crappy paintings. Doesn't even look like a bowl of fruit. It looks like a tumor on a table.
Somebody who didn't want to learn something new, Pat, like they wouldn't watch documentaries and stuff, right?
Well,
about things that they didn't know about before, like things like rugby or like Formula One.
I'm not
racing.
Even convinced he watches them. I think he reads the description and comes in and tries to sound like
they really give you a full breakdown.
Okay,
what?
So here's the thing.
What?
I don't want people under 60 listening right now to think this break is all about the older set because
no.
It turns out it's not. The same study asked the boomers in this study, what age are you best suited to learn something new? At what age are you best suited to learn something new?
Mm.
Do you want to take a guess at what their response
was? Why would they think a young person because you're more open-minded as a child?
Give me a guess.
I'm going to say preteen.
Wrong. The answer given. 26.
Well, that's like late preteen. 26?
Do you agree with that?
To learn something new?
Yeah. That's the perfect age to learn something new, 26.
I would think you're too much of a douchebag to like accept learning from people. Because I mean...
Yeah, not like a guy in his 60s, you douchebag.
Well, my douche was set in stone pretty early.
Oh, you have immovable douche.
Yes. Worst Hemingway book of all time.
But you were saying it.
No, but I would think, like, you know, as a kid, you already think you know it all. Like, I would think as a child, you know, you're open to it. And when you're my age, you realize you didn't learn crap and maybe you ought to try to fix it. Like, that age to me, 26, is the most stubborn of ages because you think you got it all.
No, I agree with you, but that's why I think the age should be higher than 26, not lower, right? Like, I agree with you. You don't have the wisdom to fully soak in and appreciate.
But a little kid can adapt.
Yeah, but you also don't know, you don't appreciate what you're learning. I would say something like mid-30s, that would be where you're most likely to soak in and enjoy what you're learning.
But you ain't got no time.
Yeah, you're right about
that. See, that time is against you.
All right.
But that's the cruel thing about aging.
Man.
You have time, but you don't have your youth. So, you know, you don't have the enthusiasm for things you had when you were a young man or a young woman.
I hear you, buddy.
You don't have any zip on the ball.
No,
and your balls are by your knees.
252 WCMF.
And that's a tumor on the table, son.
252-9263. Here's what I want to know, because we got folks sitting on hold. What is the oldest age you can be and learn something new, in your opinion? Think about it for a second.
Okay.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Sean. Sean, you're on CMF, buddy. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
I just wanted to let that goal-less Tommy realize that 54 years old, decided to go back and get my bachelor's degree.
In what?
It's a school of independent studies. Basically, I can take this course here, and finish my degree.
Hey, you know, I got a course for you. It's in the men's room.
Well, okay, you're going to sodomize them. Sean... What made you decide you wanted to go back to school in your 50s?
Just a goal, honestly.
Okay.
That's all right.
The degree.
So having that degree meant...
Were you done with it?
Well, will you let him answer the question?
I am.
I gave you a shot. You sodomized. Now it's my turn.
You know he calls his wife M'lady.
Do you call your wife M'lady, Sean?
No, I call her my sugar mama.
Oh,
even worse,
okay.
Bro.
Okay, I'm sorry, Sean. I was trying to back you up. No, Sean. So having that piece of paper meant something to you. You wanted to be able to hold it in your hand, show it to people, and say, I've accomplished this.
Yes.
Okay. What's wrong with that, Tommy?
Because it's like winning at things that don't matter.
What do you think? It does matter to him.
No, it don't. Nobody cares.
He cares.
Well, you going to make money with it?
I hope so.
What?
Not with that attitude.
If it matters to him. And it makes him happy. Bless. Why? No, why would you stand in his way?
Bachelor on, man.
It's an accomplishment to me.
And that's all that should matter, Sean.
That's what I'm saying, stupid.
Absolutely.
Sean, hey, when are you scheduled to graduate, by the way?
26.
All right, so
what are you going for, your doctorate?
What?
You're not even done yet?
Tommy doesn't understand how college works, so he's just yelling things into a microphone.
I got a family to take care of as well.
I get it, bud. I get it, my brother.
Well, go take care of your family.
Sean. Good luck, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Why would you do that to a man?
What is that about?
He's all proud of himself.
Somebody's trying to better themselves, and you're being a dick?
And even if it doesn't better him financially in any way, he's proud of the accomplishment. Yeah. Why can't you be proud of the accomplishment?
I mean, just to get that diploma on a wall to show your friends and family. Like, your mother would be so proud.
My
56-year-old son finally made something of his lame ass. He tried painting. It was terrible.
Kimmy, what is the oldest age, in your opinion, someone can learn something new?
I look at, like, my grandpa is 95, and he's learned new things along the way.
That's
like,
cool.
Like,
for example, he learns Kimmy's name again every time he sees her.
Oh, yeah.
No!
I was always just really
Sugar
impressed.
Sugar baby.
I was always just really impressed with his ability to, or his interest in things, especially things that, like, you know, kids at the time liked. Like,
okay.
He's curious.
Like with technology. Like, he has an Apple Watch.
Wow.
You're still awake?
He worked at Kmart, that Kmart in Chilai in the electronics department when he was like in his 80s.
Yeah.
And I remember him coming over and talking about Call of Duty with my brother. Like, he stayed learning. And I think that it keeps your mind right.
Hey, Dad, it will keep you living longer.
Yeah.
Right. What age, Tommy, is the maximum age you can learn something new?
Like, successfully?
No. Yes, sure.
I might say high school.
You shouldn't learn anything new after right? high school?
Yeah, pretty
Are
much
you
set.
Just basing it on your life?
So my wife, but who's yeah, a dermatologist, should have been like, I got to figure it out. Come here, I'll cut that
okay,
off you.
All right, so doctors, people like that, they're cut from a different cloth. They're wired different.
Is it different cloth? Is that like a, is that from a specific country?
It's a very sensitive. It's a high thread count cloth.
How about you learn how to use your effing mouth, man?
I was using my mouth mother. Last night. Oh, mother? Yeah, your mother. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Shut up.
No, but I
high school.
Huh?
High school.
High school. That's when I stopped. Actually, I stopped before high school. I mean, what are you going to do?
Like, anything you want.
You love to travel and experience new things.
I do travel. I did travel. I traveled.
Okay, but that's kind of like, but that is.
Wait, I like when I do it, I get the HJ when douchebag Paul calls up because he went to night school. He's like, oh, my God, professor.
Yeah, because Paul is going to better himself. He ain't going to.
Neither of you even get his name
no,
right.
Paul's actually dying. I'm sorry. No, he ain't going to have like pasta primavera at the Rainforest Cafe in Sacramento.
By the way, that place is really good.
It's no Senor Fox Cozumel, I'll tell you that. No, shut up. I go on vacation, so I'm learning now. Man, that all-inclusive in Jamaica really got me close to the people on the island.
You really understand the island life.
Wow.
What those people go through.
We also talk about how, you know, people can't really retire the way that they used to. So you may be forced to have to learn something new based on, you know, sticking with whatever job you have.
I was thinking the opposite. You make a great point. Because I was thinking, like, if you can't afford to retire, you don't have the time to like do new things, but I did. Maybe you took on a different type of career. Yeah, that would open up your mind. Just you'd be forced to.
But both of those arguments are valid arguments in either way. I mean, look, to Kimmy's point. You know, if you're forced to like stay working, you could end up. You know, I
Any
don't know.
Other job
well, you meet
you
young
have,
people.
Have
you're
to
out.
Learn yeah. How to well, use a computer?
But like the worst case scenario is you end up, you know, in a factory manufacturing. Different cloths, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's everyone knows how unsafe that
I
is.
Shove one of those in your mouth.
Maybe we should put it in your mouth, and that would fire. Solve your speaking words as a radio personality, you dumbass.
You seem like the kind of guy who would want to learn another language.
Tommy doesn't even know the language he speaks! I'm gonna work on English first, you dumbass! Different cloth!
You're gonna give Ben a heart attack.
Serious!
But only so he could, like, shop in other countries.
We learned he didn't know the equivalent. I might lose my voice. What? We learned he didn't know he didn't realize there was a difference between yen and American dollars, and he spent $80 on a pair of socks.
That's what he needs to learn.
252-WCMF. We start this conversation. I see you guys on hold. Don't go anywhere. A new study showed that baby boomers want to learn. 75% of boomers say they love to learn new things. 6 in 10 boomers said they find learning things, new things now more rewarding than they did when they were younger. Yet the overwhelming majority believe they are too old to learn. And it's all because of guys like Tommy. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Paul. Hey, Paul. How are you, buddy?
Good.
All right. Good start, Paul.
I got into learning. I'm 70 years old. This year, I built my first picnic table that folds into a bench. I picked up the electric guitar. I've had my third guitar lesson.
Look at that.
And Northfield Music.
All right. So he's playing guitar on a picnic table he built himself.
It folds into something else.
And I got into internet TV. I pay $15 a month. I get everything under the sun, and I get 6 hookups that I hand out to my friends and my sons.
Okay, Paul, are you going to try and sell us on internet TV? Because I don't want to buy any. Okay.
No,
are you
no,
that guy that drives around with the magnet on his car, ask me about free internet?
No.
So he's taken 3 guitar lessons.
Okay, but that's showing
an
interest.
And he built a picnic bench. Man, way to be an innovator.
Okay,
those have been around since like Eisenhower was a baby. I think Eisenhower was born in a picnic bench.
I'm sorry, where was he? Where was he born?
Picnic bench.
What are you, Yogi Berra, you stupid bitch? He was born in a picnic table.
Don't let him bring you down, Paul. I give
you
credit.
No, that's his first song he's going to sing. Don't bring me down,
Polly boy. I don't want to be short.
What do you mean?
Stubby.
Yeah. No, I get it. So, Paul.
He's a musician.
Oh, no, I get it. Paul, what kind of music are you aiming to play?
Hopefully far away.
Right now I'm learning the blues, but I write.
Yeah, I'm getting the blues right now listening to you. My name is Paul. Born on a pinky bench. Yeah, baby. Just like I was an hour, I'm going to die on this bench, baby.
I think you're going to die right now. Are you
okay? I just got me a guitar and a folding bench, baby.
That's right. I'm used to it. My sons are like that.
My sons don't pay attention to me, and I gave you seven children, baby, and now you want to give them back.
Paul.
Hey,
bought you a seven-course meal, and you said thanks for the snack. Ah, Paul, baby.
I write because my wife died 2 years ago.
Thank you.
Well, there's your first tone.
That shut him up, Paul. Well,
hey. I'm single now.
For God's sakes, Paul. Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
At 7 years old, they put my one of my poems on the back of her funeral card.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's kind of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've got one that I wrote when a cop told me to commit suicide in 1971.
Holy crap!
He told me to jump off the gorge at Maplewood Park because the park was closing. And I said, come on, it's an open-air park. But he said, you know, hey, don't like the rules? Too bad. Take a walk off the gorge.
Cops are like different.
Well, he said it as a joke.
Okay, well, no, it still counts.
Well, he ran into your dad.
You got to suck, and I'll tell you what came from that.
Well, look, I'm actually, Paul, I'm sorry. Paul, hold on. I'm like super late. I'm actually out of time. But look,
yeah, I'm all cheered up now.
Keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
I'm proud
of you for the picnic table and for the $15 Wi-Fi streaming and for the guitar, buddy.
Look on Facebook Marketplace for the picnic table.
There it is. He's selling it. Paul, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. You feel good now?
Yep, you did that.
You feel good about yourself?
You pushed, and you pushed, and you didn't shut your pie hole.
And he was trying to tell you, and you were doing blues songs while he's trying to tell you that his wife passed away.
No, he did that afterwards.
Yeah, because
he was trying to get his point across, and you wouldn't shut up. That's the longest song you've ever done, by the way. Pat and I set you up all the time for songs, and you're like, no.
You want the saddest?
That call was not my fault.
You want the saddest part of the story?
What was that?
You know what they buried her in?
What?
A defensive cloth.
This is what happens when he has too much coffee.
No, seriously. He gets his double shot. Oh, what choice did I have? You brought me here.
Oh, so everything's my fault.
You go home. I guess you can make money off of everything.
Well, sure. It's America, buddy.
This story proves it, but this ain't America. I mean, it involves America, mm-hmm. but this did not happen in America. It is arguably the biggest tragedy in history, and someone's looking to make some cash off it.
So what is this tragedy?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Kimmy, if I said the name Jonestown to you, what does that mean?
Oh, like where everybody drank the Kool-Aid?
There you go.
Yep.
So she knows immediately.
Right.
So my hunch was right that the majority of people still know Jonestown.
Oh, yeah.
And for the very few that don't know, I'll give you a quick background. The Reverend Jim Jones, he was a religious man here in America. He claimed he was being persecuted, so he took all of his followers out of California. They started in Indiana, moved to California, went from California to Guyana, and they started a compound.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is that they were all going to be self-reliant, working on this farm.
It was paradise.
Creating a utopian society.
Yeah.
And then some cracks started to show.
Right.
People wanted to leave, but apparently they could not. Jim Jones probably had some mental illness, was also heavy on drugs at the time.
Yeah.
And it alarmed family members that were there. So they sent a U.S. senator?
Yeah, and his crew down there to investigate.
A full television crew.
Yeah.
They go down.
And everything went really well at the first part.
Okay. So they go in, and a show was put on.
Checking things out.
Exactly. Right. Where, you know, the people that live there, they showed him how they farmed and all these things.
Yeah.
And they put on a show for him.
It was like a,
everything is.
Well, the last night that the senator was there with the camera crew, somebody slipped him a letter saying, I would like to leave and I'm being held against my will.
Right.
The senator then went to Jim Jones and said, I know there are people here that want to leave, and I would like to take them.
Yeah.
They then took a handful of Jonestown members.
He's not on his flight home.
And they're going to take him on the flight home. And when they got to the plane, the senator was shot and killed, along with several other people that were trying to board the plane. Some made it home alive.
But the cameraman kept rolling footage as he died.
There's footage of all of it.
Yeah, as he collapses to the ground.
And that's what's so remarkable about this story is that there is video documentation. But, again, everybody at the compound killed themselves.
Yeah, so basically, when the time I got there, there was 900 people basically dead.
You got it. It is the largest murder-suicide in known history.
Yeah.
The property still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And there are now people in Guyana who want to turn it into a tourist attraction.
What's left on the property?
Well, it's probably jungle again, I'm sure, because it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like is there anything to even point to?
I'm looking at it. It looks like somebody's maintained it.
Okay.
Oh.
So it looks like it did.
Somebody's been like living there?
I don't know. So the person who wants to do this, he's 67 years old. He claims that Guyana has every right to profit from anything related to Jonestown. They plan to ferry visitors to the village, then march them out to where they are, or go helicopter or plane.
Ooh, helicopter.
They would charge people to do this, and you could go and check out the site of the largest murder-suicide in maybe recorded history.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I have done similar things.
Yeah, you have.
Okay.
And you've kind of gone
out of your way to do those other
I did.
Things.
And I did go to gym. In, true story. I was working. My first road gig was in Richmond, Indiana.
Okay.
That's Jim Jones' hometown.
Yes.
And I didn't know that until I got there. And I went to a bar and a guy was telling me about it. And he goes, you know, he's right up the street. It's his home.
By the way, fun way to welcome people into a bar.
Yeah.
Well, what else you got in Richmond, Indiana? Hey, we're not that far from Dayton.
But
it is a fascinating piece of American history because that was outside of the Manson family, this was the first time you actually saw actual footage of a cult.
Mm. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Documented.
It was like this murky thing until you actually saw, this is what actually could happen with these things.
Understood.
It was eye-opening.
But there is a difference here, because what you are describing is a museum.
Yes.
This would not be a museum. Right. This would be a profiteering business venture.
You're walking on a gravesite.
Yes. But I don't see the difference between any other tragedy thing you can go look at.
No, look, I don't disagree with the idea of turning this into a place where you can go see
and learn about it.
Exactly. Like this is what can happen when one charismatic person has the ability to do what he did, right? Take people along for this ride. To make it a vacation spot almost.
Yeah. Well, you are in the tropics. It is a nice time of year.
They got nice beaches. Stay and enjoy yourself there.
Yeah.
It's a weird
Wouldn't stay the night there. You would just see it and go back and do something on the shore. Like senior frogs or something like that.
This seems really inappropriate. And I know that time heals all wounds, but like that's how disgustingly disturbing this was, is it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And this still feels really, really, really inappropriate.
Well, it was horrifying.
That's what I mean, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, think of another... Okay, I'm not trying to belittle the fact here, but like, you know, people go to Dealey Plaza in Texas all the time to see where President
Kennedy
was
shot. And you can take that tour,
Exactly, like... That makes more sense to me than this.
But they have the mark right where Kennedy got shot.
Yeah, that yes.
In the road.
And I mean, it's world history. It's American history.
It changed history.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Right.
So did this.
I did.
But profiting off of this somehow seems more disturbing to me.
I guess, but you know, you go to historic battlefields where many men sacrificed their lives.
Sure,
it was a horrible thing. And you're just,
you do reenactments.
You know, you reenact young people's, you know, tragic deaths. Yeah.
But again, time.
I understand.
If you're talking Civil War, I mean, Gettysburg happened 170 years ago?
Yeah.
1860? 19. Were you there? Is that where you wear that outfit today? Dear Mom, made it to Gettysburg. Things should go okay.
Meeting new people.
Corporal said my head is too big, so they put me in the back.
I'm surprised there aren't more people profiting off of things like this just based on the popularity of crime documentaries, cult documentary, any kind of like tragedy in documentary form, podcast form, whatever you want to call it. People kind of have this obsession with it.
Yeah.
So it's only, I guess, natural that there are more like physical locations to go see these things and want to learn about it and be there and see where it happened.
I guess what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is... again, we're talking about this story. Guyana, the country, is looking to turn Jonestown, it seems, into a tourist site.
Well, it's a very poor country. Trying to make a couple of dollars here, too.
Understood.
I mean, I'm guessing Jim Jones didn't pay his deposit.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, no, you kept that.
You know he stiffed some contractors on the way out.
No, you bring up a valid point, Kimmy, right? Like, I guess I just wonder, what do you expect as someone paying to go here, to feel and see when you get there. Mm. And I'll try and give another side.
And are you just going for that reason?
What other reason would you go to Guyana? With all due respect to Guyana, yeah. I mean, it's not like you got
Georgetown. Yeah, it's not a tourist hotspot.
Exactly, right? Like, there's Georgetown there, that you know, and not the college.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this, the country.
Not the Hoyas.
Yeah, you're not going to find Patrick Ewan hanging out at a coffee shop. No, okay, like, over the summer.
Yeah.
My grandpa's buried in Arlington.
Right.
Very proud of that fact. And I wanted my girls to see this.
Yeah.
So we went to D.C. and we went down to Arlington. And, like, when you walk on that property, to your point about the sacrifice, like, there is a feeling of there's pride and patriotism. There's a feeling of devastation when you're looking at all of these grave markers of these young men.
Because it goes on forever.
And that's just it. Like, you don't fully realize the scope of how we got here until you're looking at all of this. And then you have people that you know. Like, names you recognize, right? And then to see my grandpa buried, you know, well, he's interned, but among all these people, it was a very powerful thing. And I guess what I'm getting at is, when you go to a place like Arlington to see a family member or, the, you know, show your respect to these soldiers, right? Like, there was good that came from it. When you go to a place like Gettysburg and there's all this death and destruction, there was good that came from it. What good came from this?
Well, no good, really.
So what am I learning?
I guess it because it's still part of history that I was exposed to.
Okay.
And I want to see it. And I mean, I've been to murder homes where people were murdered.
Sure.
Historic, big murders. And
you sound like a bad agent. We got a couple murder, big murders.
Big murders, baby.
Big murders coming. I got it. Sign on the line, big murders.
And I drove 4 hours each way to see it. But I just read the book.
Okay.
Well, actually, audio.
I was going to say, you were a little.
It was audio. But, you know, I mean, I really wanted to see it because I get painted such a picture in my head that I go, how could I not? I had nothing to do.
Sure.
I mean, I guess what if you're going to see, like, if you're in Europe and you go to see World War II, like historical World War II sites, World War I stuff.
I mean, you're going
to see some pretty tragic stuff.
I mean, you can go to the camps and you know, all these things. You could go through the trenches of World War I.
But again, I mean, with all of the terrible tragedy, good came, right?
Yes.
Like you stopped this
for
monster.
One side.
Well,
yeah, but you're going to a site where it was mostly bad.
Understood. Look, I get it.
But
I,
all
I,
these tragedies do change America, right?
How did Jonestown change? Right? There are still charismatic folks that hide behind.
A lot of cults out there watch a lot of those documentaries.
Inactive.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, like, what lesson did we learn from Jonestown that we applied to everyday life? You see it still.
Well, some people could have taken a positive away from it, I guess.
Okay. You know? 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Tim.
Maybe not to sign up for everything.
Timmy, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
I was just kind of calling to say it's kind of similar to the 9/11 Museum in a sense that, you know, nothing positive really came from that, but people still go and see all that.
Okay, I mean, okay, so that's a good point, Tim, but I will say this. I think that we are still so close to that. That story's not finished being written yet. And I'll go even further, Tim. Like, when you go to the flight pools, and I went to New York with the family this summer, too.
Yeah.
I did have conflicting feelings walking through that because, Tim, they are selling souvenirs.
Oh, all over the place, right? Like Canal Street, yeah.
So it was disturbing. But at the same time, I mean, Tim.
It's kind of a memorial site. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you lost somebody at that terrible tragedy, you have the ability to stand by the reflecting pool and their names are there. It's a final resting place for thousands of people that just went to work that day. I mean, I get your point, but I still think
I
it's a little
sides of it.
You know what I mean?
But if I was traveling today and if I was in Pennsylvania and if I wasn't that far from Shanksville, I think I would drive there to go see the memorial.
For those who don't remember, Shanksville was the third plane that was shot down.
Yeah, Flight 93, right?
Yeah.
And I would go look at that and
really?
And what's that?
You would go out of your way to see.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I did. But like, if I could see where, and I'll even go more classic rock.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the call, buddy. I really appreciate it.
So I wasn't aware that where Leonard Skinner's plane crashed, there really isn't a memorial. It's kind of a half-assed memorial for him.
Oh.
It's kind of just kind of slapped together, and it's in the middle of nowhere.
It is kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's kind of Skinner, right?
But it's probably one of the greatest songs ever written.
Sure, yeah.
And they died in their prime.
Yeah.
There's no way if I'm in that area, I'm going to go see that memorial where the plane went.
Okay,
down.
I guess.
And I don't get anything out of it except just to kind of look at it.
But Skynyrd was an accident. That wasn't a planned
thing. True, but a tragedy nonetheless. Yeah.
And even with Shanksville, you know, Flight 93, yeah. I mean, you have the plaque there and all that thing to explain what the folks on this plane did to potentially save thousands more American lives, right? So I don't know.
But I'm just looking at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows anymore? Time plus tragedy equals profit in comedy
or tourism.
That, yeah, I guess.